Sahib keeps on reminding us that the best of our fruits is our beingness, like our simply existing. So to offer the best of us and to offer best we could offer, highest we could offer to life is to offer this existence as it is. And what it basically means, like, not to think that the best is something that we can become or create, no? But what we are deeply. And however far you go in your journey, and however many things you conquer in your journey, actually at the end, like, what you find is yourself, like, face to face with this pure being. Like, nothing else, but it actually feels like, when it is said, like, in many different texts, like, it's almost like as if we have to go climb Mount Everest to actually find ourselves, you know. So usually on the way, we think what we are doing is climbing this Mount Everest and conquering this quality or this other quality. And as we keep walking and conquering what we thought was to conquer, like, we find ourselves, like, and we find, like, this face to face with ourselves, like, with nothing to conquer, you know. So actually, like, it seems almost like as if we have to climb this mountain to become simpler and simpler again, like to come down more and more and accept this nothingness in the sense of non-complication or non... outside anything to conquer. So again, like, the highest is not any thing that you can gain to qualify what you are, to make what you are better, but this naked being. So basically, like, taking out all the qualifications and all the, how you say, adjective, like, that which explains, like, gives understanding to what you are, like, to, when that goes away, then what is left is, that is what should go first. Like, that is what really is important and what is really, like, the fruit of what you are. And you have to know that now really is the time in which you can realize that you don't take any profit by keep adding qualifications to yourself, like keep adding adjectives to yourself. But the time to have this courage to be no one, like this courage to, like, take more and more clothes and be in this rawness of no adjective, no description of yourself. And that implies, like, any description, like general description or specific description, she's saying, he's saying. And again, like, you are, I understand that which you came to be, that which you understand that you came to be, had been very helpful up to now, but now you have to undo that. No, you have to kind of forget about that. And this is the ultimate sacrifice, he's saying, like this sacrifice of not listen to what describes you, like not believe what your mind thinks of yourself. Or the idea of yourself, how you are and how you think you are and you think you should be. So to do that, it is really like a very high sacrifice of joy, of love. Like, to do that is an act of love, you know, and it's a sacrifice because it is always like kind of uncomfortable to be left without description. It is always like a bit yucky feeling not to really know in which land I'm standing, you know? And it takes courage, and probably it takes like this feeling of solitude in the beginning, because there is nothing to hold on. None of these ideas about yourself or none of these descriptions about what life or the world is will help now, and they will not, they will certainly not take you further. So please let them, like, abandon them. Because what is going to take you further, and what now is your, like, what nourishes you now, is this kind of wide consciousness, wide, like, big consciousness. Of your beingness, and staying there and spending time there will make you grow, and will take you and everything and everyone to higher place. So please go beyond this and have the courage to go beyond any kind of particular thought, no matter how high or beautiful this particular thought could be. So in this sacrifice of being left with no description, there is such an openness that frees you and the whole humanity, you know, like, moment I'm able to live without my own description and be there. Then that kind of higher state gives huge possibility for my being and for everyone else. So it's not only like you apply to your own experience of yourself, but to know that this is a sacrifice that makes everything grow. Like, it uplifts everything, no? You and everyone. And to know that this is very important, like, more important than being only tied to your survival needs, like, kind of more important than just being concerned about your food and kind of what you will dress and this kind of thing. Saying, like, I know that in the beginning this requires a little effort from you to really live, to try to live, like, to kind of create your own tricks and find your own tools to try to live constantly in this core of yourself, you know, like to try to live there, you know, like not to go out wandering, you know, but to really like pull yourself in, you know, like you're saying, I know in the beginning this requires a little bit of effort. But hopefully you will get help, and hopefully you will get, yeah, this kind of help to be pulled in by some kind of forces that now through your mind you cannot guess. Kind of is saying like, I know you need some, you will need some strength to be there, but also saying like, also for you to know that even if you don't, even if you cannot see now or feel now, there is also other kind of help that will help you to do so. So you have to have kind of the willingness and find, like, play your own tricks and find your own tools to help living within, but also to know that kind of you are not alone, that, you know, help is also around when you are honest in that. And don't doubt that this beingness will very quickly kind of bring its fruits. So again, please, like, I want you to understand very clearly that you should stop any reflection and kind of elucubration about what reality is or all of this. Because there is nothing more important and more clear than your own experience. So before, because you had no experience, so you had to go through them to the mind to figure out. But now what the only thing that can make sense to you and will fulfill you is to touch it yourself, no? Like to experience it yourself, you know? So please just bring your effort into just be in this innocent or blind kind of loving consciousness of this world being. Like, and just kind of, please just be stuck there, no? In this loving consciousness of being. And you know, you can describe this word being as you like, whatever word you want to replace with in this being, you are free to do so. But to know that whatever word you will come up with, it will for sure be contained in this being. So kind of like, don't bother finding words, because whatever word, it is contained in this being. So by saying, like, no matter how many beautiful or big words about what is, you will actually never change, like, what is. Like, so basically, like, it doesn't matter how beautifully you try to say what is, how big or how many words you find, because that will not change really what is. So let what is be, you know. So if you don't use any of those words, still, like, it doesn't mean that you will steal those qualities from what is also. So nothing can make it bigger, nothing can make it smaller. So basically, also, he's pointing out this kind of this tendency that we have to understand everything. But also, like, two things, like, the moment we have an image of where we go, we are limiting the place where we go. So that's kind of one reason why it's so important not to try to figure out where we go, because then possibilities are infinite, and if we try to figure out, then possibilities are only within what we can imagine. And what we can imagine, like, kind of by law, is going to be smaller than what is. You know, it's going to be like more limited than what is, you know. So and by doing that, like this kind of trying to figure out or imagining, we can say, like, this is not a loving attitude towards what is, you know, because it's in a way like, even if we imagine that what is very, very huge and beautiful and blah, 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 it is still putting down what is, because that is, like, so much than what we could possibly imagine. But also to know that actually you are what you are, no? Kind of. Ultimately, nothing can pull you out of this being. But please stop kind of leaving this being as divided and start living from this consciousness of being. So I don't know if there is any question or comment. Yeah.
I'm curious, going back a little bit, if there's any references in the language to these outside forces or forces within you that will support you.
Yeah.
Going back like a couple of pages, I think.
Yeah.
That he says, hopefully you'll get help through forces that you couldn't get through your mind.
Yeah.
Is there any suggestion, either like from your thoughts or from the text, of what those forces may be?
Yeah, like sometimes we can say like, some people say grace, but also can be a little more like almost physical, like also like kind of energy fields that can pull, like that have this kind of uplifting kind of quality. So those are things that we cannot make happen, we can say, but as we become subtler and subtler, we kind of catch that frequency, we can say, no? Like we, now with all the noise, we cannot tune into that frequency, but as we become silent and more silent, then we are able to kind of, with the radio, like just the image, like tune into that frequency, and there, when that happens, that is kind of very obvious. But before that happens, that is unthinkable. You know, it's kind of, you would kind of put your hand in the fire, that this cannot be, no? And then, of course, then it happens, and then hopefully it's not too late, and your hand is still good. So I like a lot also one sentence that I mentioned many times, but there is this song of kind of glorification of the Zazen, like the practice of just sitting in the Zen tradition. And it says, no, in one of the sentences is like, in falling one time into this place, into this beingness, like it has such a power that it erases like many, many actions from the past, you know. So what it basically means also that when we come from the mind and when we think about the journey through the mind, very easily like we fall into calculating kind of how long it will take this and that, you know. But the reality is that there are places in which you fall that have this kind of erasing power, no? That, you know, or in other words, like places where it seems to be like a trampoline, no? Like you are happily walking, kind of like You think you are going like from here to here, so you know, no? Like it will take like 5 hours, but suddenly you put one foot in one kind of hole by mistake, no? And there is a trampoline that makes you kind of move 3 hours ahead, no? And that is totally unthinkable before. When you started, you really thought it would take 5 hours. And then suddenly, like, you get these extra points, like, you see, you know, when you play these games, you get extra points according to where you step on. So, something like that, you know. But in a way, this is kind of important to say, like, because not just to make sure that we are speaking about something like unspeakable, like something that is beyond calculation, you know, like we are trying to fish and put words on something that it is like first like so intimate and so personal that it is not like a general kind of timing or description of how it should be or how it will be, you know. But at the same time, like to know that yeah, that it seems to be like general kind of things that happen to like when people reach like certain kind of levels of depth, you know, and that seems to be like described by different people in different parts of the world, so. So just please spend time there and chewing and enjoying this loving sense of beingness. And see how slowly, slowly things will keep on happening without effort and more through kind of more and more you will feel yourself kind of being brought here and there. As if what it doesn't say as if, it says like through this like contemplative and just being and chewing this joy of being, the angels will bring to you the wisdom. So that feels pretty good to be brought wisdom with some chai, please. And then he says this funny, it's like, yes, he says, yes, like, believe it or not, the wisdom of the angels is especially kind of directed towards this service, like a servant to is kind of how you say it? Person who is served.
Master.
Huh?
Master.
Master. Yeah. Okay. So, believe it or not, this is the job of the angels to serve wisdom to you. That sounds good. As if you had servant. What it basically means is like again and again reminding us like how much is not about like moving out or getting into action to gain, but to really just spend time there, and that will be brought to you, like really like brought to you, like kind of for free, like a servant, you will not pay a servant. I think in India, no one will pay a servant, like they will just serve. So this kind of sense that someone will bring to you, but you will not feel anything that you owe, that you have to pay back. It just will feel like natural, you know? And of course, when you experience that, like being brought this wisdom that you didn't earn it, kind of that you didn't have to sweat for, you know. Of course, that will open you to a bigger understanding of this kind of, we can say, generosity of life or hugeness of what is, you know, that it is actually deliberately like brought to you, you know, it is really like, it's big, you know. And how that wisdom can come to the deepest core of ourselves. Like in this very, we can say, unfinished, unpolished, kind of unresolved mess that we were saying yesterday, the other day. To this, to the core of this mess, wisdom is brought, you know, so that seeing, like experiencing that really like makes a difference, like really it opens us to some bigger understanding about what is, you know. And that experience really transforms us and ties us with this hugeness of being, you know. So basically, falling into this experience makes a change in us, you know. It helps us trust, no? And in this trust, we start living differently, no? As we learn to trust, as we experience this hugeness and this generosity, we learn to trust and we start living differently, no? Like less, you know, less afraid and less shrinking, you know, this kind of thing. So, if you find this wisdom, then you will find that you will find yourself walking with more certainty, and you will find yourself like tripping less, like not tripping anymore. Tripping is like, okay. And you will not be afraid when you go to sleep. No? Or in other words, like, because this will take your whole reality. So it's not only that you will be feeling that when you are meditating, we can say, you know. But even when you are not meditating, like in whatever you are doing, you will not feel afraid, you know. Or in other words, you will start trusting yourself. So, without controlling yourself, you know that you will not fall back into any old pattern, you can say. So, it is like this process in which, like, first kind of we have a glimpse and then we spend more and more time there, so we start trusting and our whole reality kind of starts changing around that and according to that. And as this becomes more your ground.
More.
Your ground, like your reality, then there is less and less the pull, like from the old tendencies, you know, like from, yeah, your kind of. So, is there any question? Or anything? Yeah, please.
So, curious about maybe your own experience. Balancing like the mind and then like what is beyond the mind. So for example, like we're planning this retreat. You're planning this retreat and not being limited to the mind because the possibilities are infinite. But we do use our mind in practical ways all the time. So I'm just curious, I'm curious about your thoughts on that. I don't know if my comment is clear.
Like, because like
using the mind without limiting ourselves to the possibilities, like I can plan a journey. Or maybe not using the mind to exclude things that come up once you're on it.
Yeah. Because what happened to my understanding is that this mind, which is a tool and very, very good tool for planning, calculating, this kind of things, but we are misusing or we are overusing, you know, like we are out of this tool, we made this king or this queen that has power over everything else. Like we gave this power to this mind, you know. So we can say, like, in the beginning, meditation process, this journey of like spiritual journey, in the beginning is simply like find a way, like you are in the jungle, like however you find a way to take the mind back to what it is for, you know, and then we can start, you know, that, you know, I see people coming and say, I'm meditating for 30 years and they didn't go beyond that exercise, you know what I mean? That there is a lot of confusion about this, you know. Some people understand that meditation is all about training the mind, no? But it is only like in the beginning, we have to only like, first thing we have to do is to let the mind know that, you know, he is left without job. We have to make mind understand that it will be diminished to its true purpose. And for the rest of the things, we will use other faculties like heart or intuition or wisdom, you know. But because we gave this throne to the mind, then what happened is that all these other voices, like wisdom, heart, and all this, like intuition, and just, you know, like are smashed, you know. They hardly never get a chance to actually say anything, you know. They are almost like always like kind of the little sister, kind of there, you know. So first is a journey to come to balance to these things. And then, of course, we still use the mind, no? But not for smashing the other qualities.
It's not a question, but it's a feeling that I have about mindfulness. And I think that during this retreat, my dislike for what I understand of the term mindfulness has grown. Because I feel that, for myself, that I hate watching myself. because I feel that it distances me from myself and from that beingness, and that that when I might be misunderstanding, but I feel that if I'm told to be mindful, then that actually increases the problem, and that it, that means that that mind is, I'm giving it that kind of importance, like you're saying, to watch, and I feel like I don't want to watch, and I just want to be with that experience, whatever that experience is. So just to share that mind, being mindful has never made any sense to me. And if I were to think of anything that that experientially has made me learn or feel differently, like even the chanting in the evening, that, I mean, if I were to mindfully chant, I would not chant. I mean, that would make no sense to me. I can't watch myself chanting, for example. So, yeah, just that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a blessing to be bored of watching yourself, you know. Like, if you get bored watching yourself, then you will really do whatever to find some other way, you know, of diving in. And
yeah. If I can just add one thing, that I'm also reminded of a friend who I have, and who's always trying to be mindful, and I feel sad because I think that she's not spontaneous, and that it's like always this rather, I don't know how to describe it, like this almost like a stiffness, like always being very like careful and serious, and
yeah.
And so I just feel like she's got herself into a kind of a trap.
It's pretty incredible that this text from the 14th century, you know, can still be very resonant thousands of years later.
Oh, we can pick a book from like 2 million years ago, and we will be with the same.
I'm having trouble kind of understanding not putting any like guidelines or set times. I understand the concept, I really do. But what I'm having difficulty with is I feel sometimes you need to. I think I go back to Ingall's question, like, for example, you're organizing a retreat. What do you need to organize a retreat? You need resources. So I think that in itself, just needing the resources, you need to meet that guideline before having the retreat. So for me, it's hard to kind of not have any set times, because I feel like you need to, or maybe I'm just looking at it the wrong way.
Yeah, but like, because in this example is very simple in a way, because that is, you know, the department of the mind to think about, you know, what I need to bring when I go to a retreat, and check these ashrams and price, and, you know, this is the department of the mind. And then, of course, leaving room for something else, you know. So, but in life or in the journey, as you were saying, like, sometimes we need some sense of feeling that we are actually moving forwards, no? and a sense of kind of a drawing of where I'm going, no? And that is okay to have, you know? But because we all understand that this is what we should have, because it's what we learn always is having a picture in front of us and then moving towards this picture. Then if I call it picture, call it carrot, no? Like the donkey carrot. And then if I get the carrot, happiness. If I don't get the carrot, sadness. And this is our life, you know? We live depending to this carrot that we draw in our mind, no? About everything, you know, the job I should be getting, the kind of body I should be having, like anything, you know, the house, the car, the family, whatever. And because we know that, like I come from the base, that we know that we are very well trained in that. That's why I took this book, which it's saying like, speaking about some other possibility, which is like this, you know, if we actually have the courage, which is for one moment, for 1 week, no, to drop the carrot, like to stop believing blindly that the only possible place to go is my own drawing of kind of the next place I want to go. Like if I for one moment stop believing in this, like most probably what will actually happen will be much bigger, much wider than what I could possibly imagine, you know. And that's the encouragement. And it doesn't mean that we have to live without no goal at all, but just to really like make an effort to also include this possibility.
Okay, so you can still go for the carrot, but you might end up with a piece of celery for yourself.
Yeah, so at least this, you know? At least, like if you don't manage to go...
You're open to that possibility.
Yeah, if you don't manage to live without the drawing, without the carrot in front, that's okay, but at least don't get too upset if what you get is salad, no?
Okay.
So that's, that already can change your life, you know? So that is already big, and then imagine without drawing, then. Yeah.
But I mean, we do have a carrot here as well, because we are looking for the place of naked being, of natural being, so that's the carrot also.
Yeah.
The mind is running after.
Yeah. As long as
and
this is...
creates problems, no?
Sorry?
And creates problems because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as this is not experiential, it is also a carrot. But carrot for carrot, you know, like, let's have a good cake in front, no? Not like one that then we will have to get rid of again, you know? You know, like...
So I said that the carrot here on the meditation retreat is to fall into a place of non-doing, mm-hmm. of natural being, of however you want to call it. So there's also a carrot here one gets upset with, or can get upset with, if you don't get it.
But it's only a carrot if you draw a picture of it and think you know what it looks like. If
yeah.
you don't,
yeah.
then it's not.
That's true.
Because then you can't be disappointed. If you don't think you know what it looks like, then you can't ever be disappointed because you either attain it or don't attain it.
Yeah, but we all know a little bit how it looks like.
Well, I guess that's what she's saying is the challenge is to not think that we do.
Mm.
I think that we should be allowed to have.
Yeah, we can buy carrots, no problem.
Because I think that I would be very grateful if, when I went back to Delhi, if I could have a little bit of now and then of what I've had
yeah.
in this one we caminan as young men. Happy with that.
Yeah.
No bigger ambition.
Yeah, but that lets that be a surprise, no? Let's what come, what will come, and what will remain, whatever it is, like, let this be a surprise, no? Like, more than a planned kind of goal, like, and probably that will stay more, like, if it is, like, experiential, then it will for sure come with you to Delhi, no? But if it's like kind of idea, then probably you will forget. I would forget, for sure. Yeah.
Time. I've been thinking about this for the last few days, and then it came up today in what you shared, like this idea of trust. So like trusting, you know, trusting that even if we get a celery or maybe even a fruit, that it's what we were supposed to get or what we were meant to get. Or trusting that something in this experience will carry with you. And so I don't really have a question. But I feel like it's kind of been around, and then today the word trust was mentioned, but it hasn't been mentioned explicitly. So like trust or faith.
Yeah, because word trust is a little tricky, and faith also. I put them in one bucket and try to not use them much. So he's saying, like, as you spend time in this wider place, you will find yourself naturally trusting more in life, you know? So in a way, it's like, because through experience, you will feel more and more safe. Then you will be able to relax more. No? But through experience, because problem with trust is if you don't go through experience, then you try to trust. So you make an effort to trust. But that is also, I find it very, like, almost violent to, like, violence, what you say? Violence, yeah?
Correct.
What?
You said it correctly.
Okay, good. So, you know, it feels like almost like violent to push yourself to trust, you know? So it's the big difference between, like, imagine it's dark at night and you are afraid to go from one place to the other, no? Then it feels to me like almost violent to try to push myself into through that darkness, because what naturally I feel is fear, no? But there is another way, which is like really diving somewhere else, and from there, like, in touch with a wider sense, then even in the darkness, you can find yourself walking through and not experiencing that fear. So that could also be trust, no? But it's completely different to walk through that darkness without that fear, like confident, or with this wider sense that is taking care of you as you walk. Or if you kind of violently, like, push yourself through, like, your heart will go like boom, boom, boom. So this, it is very important to me, like, to differentiate this trust. Because, you know, one is through the mind, pushing through, and other is experiential kind of sense of being embraced, how to say, being safe, basically. And again, to remember that because we have been so much in this unsafe place in our lives that it does take a while to feel safe, you know. Like it takes more than a glimpse, you know. Like for us to really drink it in and embrace this possibility of being okay as we are, you know, and being loved as we are, it takes a while, you know. We had been mostly like hating ourselves, so it takes a while, like it takes more than one kind of I love you, like it takes like few years of someone just like really saying it again and again. So, yeah, so like that is really part of the process, and that's why he's saying like really spend time there, like it's like really like again and again like fall into this consciousness of being, you know. And that will act, it was saying, no, that will act as this kind of soothing cream, no, this like soothing cream that like you can really like relax so much that you forget about your fear.
And also that it will gain momentum. That it will, that the more you are there, the more support and...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, enough words, because soon we will be using our mouths for eating. So, thank you, everyone.